today on Real Radio.
This verse, Acts 4:12, has been around before you were born. And it's going to be around after you're gone. It's the truth of God. It is the Bible. Jesus said so of himself. He says, I am ego eimi. I am the eternal God. And no one comes to the Father but through me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Old Meets the New, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The New Testament Book of Acts was written by Luke, who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus, who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In chapter 3 of the Book of Acts, we learned about the power of the gospel through the miracle of healing, and how Peter used this opportunity to preach the gospel. He wanted those who were amazed by the healing to turn towards salvation through Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 4, verses 1 through 23, we see a clash of two systems, and the great debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees begins. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the apostles Peter and John were severely threatened by the Sadducees and were told not to preach or perform any more miracles. But the apostles chose to follow the Holy Spirit and not men. And now continuing in his lesson called The Old Meets the New, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says in verse 11, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." And I did some research on this. First of all, Peter's quoting Psalm 118. It's a psalm that all the audience knew was messianic. It pointed to Jesus. And the chief cornerstone, by the way, was to be the last stone placed in the building of the temple. And when they were building Solomon's temple, they got all the things prepared, and the last stone to be placed was this great cornerstone. It was to be the chief stone. It's very important. Well, in history, the temple was being built for 7 years. 2.5 years into the building project, the quarrymen that were hewing out the rocks and all completed the chief cornerstone. And what they did was they sent it up to the Temple Mount. They sent it up to the Temple Mount, and it was there, but the superintendent of the temple didn't know it had arrived. And so while they're moving around building the temple, it came to be that this big stone was a pain, and they had to keep going over it and walking around. And you can read about this. And what happened was they got so fed up with this big rock being in the way, because nobody knew what it was for, that they moved it over to the side of the cliff and rolled it down the Kidron Valley. And they put it right into the creek bed there. And then they just kept building. And then it was all done. The foreman said, you know, "Send for the chief cornerstone. It's time." And the guy said, "We sent that thing to you 5 years ago." "Excuse me? We sent it to you about 5 years ago, man. What's the matter with you guys?" You know, typical construction stuff, you know. And they found the chief cornerstone covered in debris with plant life growing over it down in the Kidron Valley where they had rejected it. They weren't aware of it. The stone was right in front of them and they were falling over the crazy thing. Paul said that stone had become a stumbling block to the Jews because they wouldn't believe. But to the Gentiles, he's become our foundation. They rejected the stone. Peter says, "You guys rejected the stone. It's Jesus. You dumped him. You threw him over the valley. You crucified him. You got rid of him." And under the power of the Holy Spirit, it began to cut to the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 21:42, he said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures?" He's quoting Isaiah. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and be given to another nation to bear its fruit. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whomever the stone falls on, it will crush them to powder." Jesus spoke of himself. as he pointed out in Psalms and Isaiah. But this is blasphemy to the Jewish mind as Peter's developing this message. Look at verse 12. You ought to highlight it and circle it. Wonderful verse that we all need to memorize. Peter said concerning this stone, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You understand that verse? There's no other way you're going to get to heaven outside of Jesus. The Bible says so. There's no other way. Well, you know what? I'm trying my own thing. I'm really getting into this crystal stuff. You know, it's great. The Bible says there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. You're not going to get to heaven without Jesus. Jack, that's a little narrow, don't you think? I'm rather offended by that comment because I believe there's many ways to God. Jesus said that broad is the way and many there be on that path that leads to eternal destruction. But few are on the path that is very narrow that leads to eternal life. So who's right? Who's wrong? Well, I know that life is much more wonderful than all that, and I don't like that narrow way of thinking. Well, listen. This verse, Acts 4:12, has been around before you were born. And it's going to be around after you're gone. It's the truth of God. It is the Bible. Jesus said so of himself. He says, I am ego eimi. I am the eternal God, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's why he hung on the cross. That's why there's Easter. That's why there's Christmas. That's why you have hope this morning. Jesus is alive. Buddha is dead. He's a nice guy, but he's dead. Muhammad is dead. Nice guy. Dead. They're dead. Jesus died. But you can't keep a good man down. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The Bible said he would. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And you might say, what a bigoted statement. Well, you know what? If you're over the desert of Iraq and you're in an F-18 and you're fighting some MiG, and they get your wing, and it's burning and blowing up, and the alarm goes off, get out, eject. You got an option. To fly the plane into the ground, crash and burn, or to eject out and be saved. Well, you know that parachute's a little snug when it goes off. Kind of pulls my jumpsuit a little bit, might wrinkle it. Hey, listen, we're talking about survival here. Well, this kind of quenches my style. We're talking survival. If a high-rise building's burning down and all the electrical goes out, what's left? The stairway. Well, you know, I'm not really into stairs. You will be if the building's burning down. The Titanic was sinking. Now, I don't know. Look, there's icebergs floating around in the water. Are you going to go leap into the water? There better be a good reason why we're getting off this boat. Well, it's going down and mighty quick. So much so that people realized the only way I'm going to be saved is if I get into this life raft. And people were jumping off the boat, some of them through the life raft in panic. Some of them landing on people. People were being trampled upon by people jumping off the ship into life rafts. Why? They realized there was only one way to survive in that icy northern waters, and that was to get into the lifeboat. And people walk around today, well, you know, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try that. Well, I hope you have the time to try it. I hope you don't get hit by a Mack truck while you're trying it. But time has come for you to commit your life to Christ, because the bottom line is the ship's going down. And it's not Calvary Chapel. It's not joining the church. It has nothing to do with it. Calvary did not die on the cross for your sins. Neither did the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or the whatever. Jesus died for you. And you got to get into his boat, because it's all going down. And you can sit here and discuss it until the cows come home, and you're not going to make it until you get in the boat. But it's narrow. You know what? You're right, it is narrow. because God would only die once. And that's narrow. A price so awesome that there cannot be any other way because it costs God so much. It's so important that we realize that. God's not trying to keep you out of heaven by making a little secret path. He wants you to be in heaven so much that he's ensured the way of entry, and it's in Christ Jesus alone. And everybody in the world will hear this message. Everybody will have a chance to make that decision. But Peter begins to tell them that the stone that they rejected was Christ himself. Verse 13, now when they saw, by the way, this is the victory that we see in his name. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. There's three critical mistakes that these Sadducees make. Number one, they say of Peter and John, after seeing such boldness, man, see what being filled with the Holy Spirit will do? Peter ran away from little girls 2 months earlier. Now he's standing up preaching to the Sanhedrin. How else do you explain his power in his life than being full of the Holy Spirit? Peter and John speak with boldness. They saw that. But they make three fatal mistakes in thinking, number one, that they're uneducated. You know what that means? It means you didn't grow up. These guys, we saw you. We heard you preaching. And let me tell you something. They perceived, though it was wrong, they perceived that they're uneducated. Why? They didn't go to Hebrew University. Truly. They could have gone. They didn't go. They weren't learned men, meaning they didn't have their degrees. How can God use you? You don't even have a degree from our seminary. You don't have it. God can't use you. You're not in our denomination. New wine, old skins. Oh, I don't believe that God's really in this. Why? Well, we don't recognize it. You don't recognize it. Well, you better recognize it and get behind it. Because God's in it. Uneducated. These guys didn't learn what we learned. They didn't have our teachers. They don't know nothing. That's wrong because they knew everything that Jesus wanted them to know. Jesus taught them himself for 3.5 years. Taught them. Tutored them. And then it says that they were untrained men. 3.5 years of ministry, untrained. I don't think so. Jesus showed them exactly how to do it. And by the way, you don't read about the Sadducees preaching a crusade and getting 5,000 converts. Men on top of it. Men coming to Christ. And then the third fatal mistake is that they realized that they had been with Jesus. That word been means that they had aligned themselves or been full agreement with or are moving in the same direction with. And that's good. But they had been with Jesus. They used the past tense. They used to be with Jesus. And that's not true. Jesus was standing in the midst of them via the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you're a Christian this morning, you're growing every day because Christ is in you and he's the hope of glory in your life. These guys are making some fatal mistakes because God's not personal to them. He's not intimate to them. That's what religion does. It takes you out of a personal relationship. And seeing verse 14, the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing. I love it. Peter and John, they're preaching, and the guy that's been healed is like this. Big smile. Praise the Lord. Keep preaching, brother. You can hear him. Amen, Peter. Go for it. Come on now. Go. He's just happy as a lark, man. He's got his little feet, little tap dancing going on right there while the message is going. He's so happy. He's standing there, and there's nothing they can do about it. This guy's been made whole. He's been saved. Look at verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go outside, you guys, step out. They conferred together among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident. Is it evident? If you believe what you just said, why don't you get behind it then? See how destructive these guys are? Man, there's been an incredible miracle here. What are we going to do about it? We're going to cover it up and say it never happened. I don't know about you, but I would kind of want to find out and get behind it. To all who dwell in Jerusalem, it's evident, and we cannot deny it. Verse 17, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in his name. That's funny. That's almost funny that they would do that. And they called them together and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. What do you expect? Oh, okay. Oh, well, why don't you just say so? I'm sure. You got 5,000 converts sitting outside waiting to get discipled. You got a man standing there that's been made whole. Oh, okay. We won't preach anymore in Jesus' name. That is so stupid. They should have come back together and said, okay, now how do we accept Christ? That's what they should have said. See how blind we can become when we're not open to what God wants to do. But Peter, verse 19, and John answered and said to them, again, very sarcastic in the Greek language, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Go figure. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen or heard. What is that definition of? Verse 20, a witness. Perfect definition of a witness. So then they had further threatened them. They let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. That's what church is all about, to give God the glory. For the man was over 40 years of age on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Amazing things, how a system will fight. The old will fight the new. Jesus told us in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And the meaning is extremely interesting to what Jesus made in that comment. It was a comment of the modern day times then, and it means this. It paints a picture of a man digging a hole or doing a task, and the sun is going down. And he has to have it complete by the time the day's over. But standing next to him is a well able-bodied man standing there just looking at him, just watching. And Jesus was saying, while he's digging or while he's putting down the mortar in the brick or whatever, he's saying, you know what? If you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering, then you're scattering. It means if you haven't chosen me as your Lord and Savior, then you're fighting me. If you're not helping me in this task by you standing there with potential to make a decision to get in this or to get out of it, by you not getting into it, you've already voted against it. Are you with me on that? Do you understand that? That's a radical statement. Oh, I don't know about Christianity. You better know. Jesus said, until you come and make a decision, you're against him. That's extreme, don't you think? We have confidence in his name. I'm glad for this. In verses 19 to 22, we see the confidence in his name. We stood in front of the city council a couple of days ago, and everything was going really good, and everything went really good, except this concerned me. They got right down to voting on it, on us taking the building next door so we can enlarge the sanctuary. And this guy goes, well, are there any laws against churches being in industrial complexes anyway? If there's not, we need to make some. And right there in my mind, I just began to formulate a little argument there, you know? Because his next comment was, after all, I'd like to see some data on what kind of money we generate from having an entity like this in our city. We're not making any money off of it. And I was full of the Holy Spirit. No, I was. I was ready. And man, I had an argument. I began to think, wait a minute. We pay a lot of money in rent here. Part of our rent goes to the owner of the property who pays property tax. And the amount of vacancies around here, they need our attendance here, you know? And the other thing is, I know people who come here from Duarte, from Corona, from Upland, from Rialto, who, when they come to church, after church, They go down the street to Mimi's or to Baker's, or they buy gas over here at 76 Union. And I had all this going down in my head, man, and I had it working out. Well, okay, we got about almost 900 adults going to lunch in Chino. Average lunch, say 350 at Taco Bell, maybe from, you know, hey, wait a minute. They're making a lot of money by us being here. And then, how do you put a price tag on the marriages, your marriage that's been fixed? How do you put a price tag on the fact that your kids are not on the streets tagging anymore? They're at youth group on Friday night that the city would normally go out and have to repaint the wall for. But now they're praising Jesus Christ. How do you, when's the last time they fed the homeless? How do you put a dollar value on that? And man, I was ready to go, and it's my turn to go to the mic. Man, I felt like Samson, man. I was ready to go up there. All right, Daniel in the lion's den. Let's smoke him, God. I was ready. And I got up there, and God said, I want you to just shut your mouth. Because they're about ready to vote. And I said, if there's anything we can do in the city to help out in any way, just let us know. You know? Actually, they've been really good to us. So they voted and we got it, and that was just dandy, and that was just great. But I began to think, we are experiencing radical changes in America. We need to be careful how we vote, and we need to pray before we vote. We need to do some investigation before we vote. But I'm a little angry because right now we've been trying to put together a street witnessing team, like just like what we do in Russia. We want to do it here. And, you know, it's not very easy because the United States of America is not as free as Russia. Because, you see, we can speak in any institute, in any orphanage, in any college, on any street corner, in front of any business, anywhere in the state of Russia at any given time without an announcement, and the police department would even protect us against any violence or anything that might come our way without a permit. Russia. But we can't do anything like that in our communities without permits and without approval. Can't go to a school and begin to preach Jesus. They'd throw us out and have us arrested. I ask you, who's free? Serious times in which we live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just ask you, Lord Jesus, now, that you would give us the boldness that Peter had. God, open up the hearts and the minds of every one of us here this morning, that the same Holy Spirit that empowered Peter to preach was the same Holy Spirit that was given at Pentecost, and it's the same Holy Spirit that dwells within our hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Old Meets the New. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that God will renew and refresh you so that just like Peter and John, you can boldly share your faith with others. The Old Meets the New is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Is the Book of Acts inspiring you to tell others about your own personal testimony, but you're not sure how to do that? Or would you like to know God in a deeper way? The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet provides you with a wealth of information. It also gives you a variety of resources at your fingertips, including the Real Life TV broadcast, weekly devotionals, and the Real Radio daily audio broadcast that includes previous episodes. So check out the Real Life app at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.